Manning on a play fake, rolls right, throws for Ingram. He's got it at the five. He reaches for the pylon. Touchdown, Giants. What a job by Ingram as he extended the football out as he was about to get hit. So Ingram says, hey, if your tight end can score, I'll try it too.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Yes, Evan Ingram scoring a touchdown last year. He figures to loom even larger in 2019, the Giants tight end. Coming up in just a couple of minutes here, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. Are you over the moon?
I am very excited to hear my boy Evan Ingram.
What if he does not instill you with increased confidence by the end of the conversation?
I mean, you know how the players, their whole thing is just no matter what happens to their team, if they have zero talent, they'll be like, we're ready. We're going to make the playoffs this year.
That's true. This is the time of year. There's no player you could find in the month of April. Be like, yeah, I don't know. Right. We'll be lucky to get to eight.
But I will say for him, though, he's in a strange position because when Odell was not on the field is when he kind of soared. He took off. His numbers were great. So I think he won't admit this, but deep down, he's like, oh, now it's my time to shine. So I think he's probably extra confident.
Well, I mean, the only thing that's limited him so far is the availability. He's gotten hurt a couple of times.
Yeah.
But if he's right, I really think, especially as constructed the New York Giants going into this season with Saquon back there and the play action that he provides. And then you have the so-called possession receiver guys, although I think Sterling Shepard's being slept on a little bit there, and Golden Tate is so dangerous at the line of scrimmage. If you get him the ball, he can outquick you. Obviously, it's a weird paradox that he doesn't have high-end deep ball speed, but he can smoke you if you get him the ball in space. And I think Evan Ingram, given that formula, he could be the Vernon Davis. If you remember Vernon Davis, sure, 7-8 years ago, what he was to that Niners offense, he was the guy who was destroying teams up the seam. I think Evan Ingram has the speed to do that and the ability to do that. So I look forward to seeing what he does. I think he's the big X factor for the Giants this season. And I don't think they're going to be a bum team this year. Another team that is kind of similar to them is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not just because the Rooneys and the Maras are old school owners, and not just because the two starting quarterbacks were drafted in 2004 and have two Super Bowl victories. Well, actually, there are a lot of similarities now that I'm starting to say. It's like that Lincoln and Kennedy thing,
yeah.
Huh? Here's another one for you. They both lost high-end number one wide receivers, yeah, as we now go into this draft. And so it was a great treat. Before we get Evan Ingram showing up here in just a few, you get at least one question, Spaghetti. We'll see how much time we have with Evan when he shows. But in the meantime, you know, by the way, Evan is one of those names. Add that one to the list of people. It's a regular name like Glenn, Kevin, Gary, Linda, Karen, and now Evan. These are names that you know people who have these names, but no one in the 21st century has been given that name. True? A baby born in the year 2000 or beyond has that name.
You are very good at the weird name for a baby list. Those names sound like you have to just skip right to the age of 35 to have that name.
Right.
I agree.
Anyway, maybe that's something you can ask Evan about. In the meantime, it was a great treat a couple days ago to catch up with one of the, I think, more unheralded great 2018 seasons. Joe Hayden was dynamite there in the secondary. The secondary overall may not have performed gangbusters, but that was not on Joe Hayden. He was terrific, a great leader, if Pittsburgh Steelers fans are wondering about whether or not they're going to have the appropriate level of leadership in the locker room. We talk about that and a whole bunch of other things with the great and delightful Joe Hayden.
Dave Dameshek.
All right, I'm very excited about this. Look who's seated to my immediate left, everybody. It's number 23. It's black and gold these days. It's no longer brown and orange or whatever that team. I don't know what's going on with that team. I've heard they've made some changes. Hey, we're not here to talk about them. We're here to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, represented by Joe Hayden. How are you?
I'm doing really well, man. How are you?
Well, you know, I just dipped into fashion, first of all.
It's a nice little timepiece.
That watch.
Thank you.
A timepiece, you call it.
I call it a timepiece.
And you just left band practice on your way up here?
Balmain blazer.
It's very handsome.
Thank you.
I just think that this is the latest example of, I see a lot of football guys wear items that if I wore, people would point and laugh. But somehow you make it look cool.
You know, I think it's a fashion statement. Mm-hmm. If you wouldn't look too bad in it.
No, I'd look silly.
If we were together wearing it, then we would look good.
Well, like one like where you have the left arm and I have the right arm, and
you just have another one like this.
Oh, if we were together.
We were together, yeah.
Let's do that. Next time, that's what we're going to do. Meantime, I don't mean to take a hard right turn here, but I want to talk about your reaction, first of all. I think it's wonderful stuff that you do with your brother, with Special Olympics and everything else. I know you were just in Dubai. What are your thoughts on the news that we're hearing that it might be defunded, or at least it's been suggested?
Yeah. Just the thought of it hurt. You know, I was out there in Abu Dhabi with those kids doing the World Games, and it was amazing. You know, just them being out there playing these sports and showing how much passion they have. And it's not about winning or losing. It's about just being out there, having an opportunity to play games, having an opportunity to have their peers watch them play, having mm-hmm. opportunity for people to cheer for them. So they're already living a tougher life than you can ever imagine. My little brother, he can't talk. You know what I'm saying? He's been living through his whole life not being able to speak. So he's been supporting me. I have 4 younger brothers, and 3 of them play college ball, and Jacob was our biggest fan. He's at every single game and just so happy and so excited. So when we can go to his track and field events, his bocce ball events, and just give him his participation trophy. He doesn't even have to win gold, silver, or bronze, but he's up there standing on the podium just excited as he could ever be. And to see those kids and that, to want to take that away from him, I can't understand. I just feel like that's just mean.
On your side and the way you describe it, it is wonderful stuff. And is that how you then became an ambassador to use your platform to give your brother a voice then?
That's exactly what we did, man. I became a global ambassador in 2015. And just being able to go to these events, going to these World Games, I walked out with New Zealand. And as for the opening ceremony, and it was so crazy. Like, they literally were just running through, so hype, and it's their Olympics. Mm-hmm. So just being there just really could touch my heart, and I get more out of it going there than they do. So it's just, I do it for a feel good feeling. So it just hurt.
Well, good for you and the great work you're doing, and good for Jacob having a good time going out there. I assume he was in Dubai with you.
Jacob was in Dubai with me.
Wonderful.
It was a blast.
Now let's talk about, you mentioned that you have an athletic career of your own. And I don't know if you've heard, but since the last time you wore that uniform, there have been some changes on that team. Where do you sit with the state of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the calendar year 2019, in January? You might have heard Tom Brady, who went on to win the Super Bowl, was doing a lot of this "no one believes in us" kind of stuff. I found it a little fraudulent. Good news for you. I think there are a lot of doubters right now about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I feel like the same way. I think that Pittsburgh has never really been an underdog. They've always been the guys of the division that people look up to. People want to be that team. Because when I was in Cleveland, we would always see there, we got to beat the Steelers. We got to beat the Steelers. And now we have so much talent still on the team that now with them being the underdogs and us being able to come from people not really expecting us to do anything, I think that's going to be a different place to be in. But at the same time, I think that it's going to bring the best out of everybody that we have on our squad.
Where do you come down on this idea? I've been kind of pushing back, you know, from a fan's perspective, but also bouncing off of pro football players over the years. It seems to me that we've gone in this direction where it's been decided that if your quarterback is not the greatest leader of men, like something off the silver screen, then your team can't do well. And that's not to diminish Roethlisberger. A lot of people have stepped up to vouch for what he does for individual teammates. But Marquise Pouncey, and I've even spoken directly with Cam Hayward. Mm-hmm. From where you sit, does the Steelers locker room lack for leadership?
Not at all. I feel like we have really, really good leaders on our team. Ben being one, Pouncey obviously being one, Cam Hayward being one, myself being one. Mm-hmm. I think at the same time, you have a lot of individuals that, I mean, are, you can't be, everybody's not going to be best friends. Everybody's not going to be, you know what I'm saying, buddy. So when you have guys that have big personalities and have to, you have to form and try to make friendships, people are going to feel a certain type of ways. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there, you got to handle business, and you got to get the job done. So I've been on teams where I cannot understand. Going into a game with Big Ben, I'm so excited. I feel like we can win every single game that we go into with him. So, I mean, I've been on the other side. So that's all I can say with him. And I'm super happy that he's still on our team. And I know that we have a chance.
Since that late December game in Heinz Field, have you been in touch with any of the teammates, with Coach Tomlin or otherwise?
Yeah, I've been in touch with basically a little bit of everybody. I've talked to Cam, talked to AB, talked to Juju, talked to Terrell Edmonds, you know, all of my young guys that are the DBs. And, you know, just those are my dudes, man, Bud Dupree, everybody. So I think we're really, really excited. The guys are still on the squad, ready to go. We're just feeling like we got a lot to prove.
It is very interesting, the vibe that has already presented itself here in spring. And I can't wait to see with the draft and the run up to the season, what sort of attitude the Steelers. And then, of course, come September, I can't wait to see what you put out on the field. But as you mentioned, it's not as though you guys are devoid of talent. On the banks of the Three Rivers there, right?
No, not at all, bro. We're flooded with talent still.
Now, I want to go back to at the Super Bowl, I caught up with one Cam Jordan, New Orleans Saint.
Yes.
And I said, are you okay with what happened in the NFC title game? And he said, I guess I'm moving past it, but, you know, I'd rather be here. And I said, you know, you got to tell the people in New Orleans. Yeah, maybe that call didn't go your way in that game, but there was a game a few weeks prior to that one in New Orleans, the same stadium, that went against two calls that went against one Joe Hayden that might have changed the entire landscape of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I want to show you this. Eddie Spaghetti, if you would. Let's show our dear guest here a play. 4th and 2, 2 minutes to go. The Steelers about to pull off the impossible. A week after defeating the mighty Patriots, they go into New Orleans and are about to vanquish the team in line to be the number one seed. Drew Brees throws it.
Oh my.
Ball gets tipped at the line by Cam Hayward, and Joe Hayden barely puts a hand on the Michael Thomas's back. Your emotions when you see that play.
Beside myself.
How about not even looking back in the moment, as much as you can visit? Did you feel like this was our moment? Coach Tomlin challenged us to step up after the Raiders loss and do the impossible, beat the Patriots and the Saints back-to-back weeks, and you had done it, essentially. Did you feel that in the moment that you knocked that ball down? We did it.
I felt like we did, you know, but playing corner, playing DB, I did. We were handsy. We're on the line. Michael Thomas is a physical dude, so we're battling. So I'm thinking this is combat. You know, this is within the 5 yards. We're getting hands on each other. But, you know, being a DB, it is what it is, and I've always understood that you're not really going to get those calls. They want you to play with your arms behind your back. But the league has just changed so much by just you can't hand fight. You can't do any of those things. So you got to want to play with your feet, and it sucks. And I just was always trying to make a play.
I like to play what if when it comes to the NFL. What if this had gone that way? How would it have affected the near future? Mm-hmm. I say that if that play stands, that is a Steelers victory there, that then everybody on the plane from New Orleans back to Pittsburgh is feeling good. We did it. We rose to the occasion, backs to the wall collectively. We're on our way to the playoffs, assuming a victory against Cincy next week. And we are not just in the playoffs, but we have now taken on the mythical, the team no one wants to play because we've just beaten two of the very best in the league. I say then there's no discord in practice. I think that you guys go into the playoffs and whatever happens there happens. Ergo, I think Antonio Brown is still a Steeler. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot, you know.
I'm doing a lot of what-if extrapolation here.
It's a lot. That was a great I mean, that would be so sweet if that would have happened. But, you know, it is what it is, man. Like, this business is crazy. And I definitely feel like we were on the right path. And it definitely switched up the whole season for us. That's all I guess to say.
It has taken on a weird narrative in retrospect, because as I keep pointing out, you know, James Conner gets hurt in that Chargers game. And if, you know, you guys get into the playoffs and you have imbued with the confidence of defeating the Patriots once, was there an attitude, was there a vibe that we're catching fire right now and we are going to be, we're not just going to make the playoffs, but we're not just trying to survive the regular season to get to the postseason, but we're in a position to really make some hay if we get there?
Oh, 1,000%. You know, when we played New England and we saw our end of our schedule was the, the top three teams in the NFL. So we were looking at it like, man, we can beat them. We can beat anybody. All we got to do is get into the dance and we can beat any team. So like you said, when we beat New England, then we were ready to beat the Saints. And like you said, that would happen. We were feeling it because those are the teams that we were like, all right, bet. No matter what happens, no matter how bad our season's been going, we got the Patriots, we got the Saints. Like, do what we got to do and whatever happens, happens.
Does Kevin call? Well, actually, before I mentioned that Chargers game, it makes me reminds me of this. Towards the end of the third quarter, Joe Hayden intercepts the ball,
gets smacked,
and then it gets broken up by an opponent. Wait, no, it wasn't an opponent. It was Sean Davis. What have you said to Sean Davis about that?
Man, that's my dude. And I saw when he was watching the tape, he just tried to break on the ball. He just broke on it, and I know he meant no harm, but it's just wrong place, wrong time. I was just like, I just wish you would have had a worse break this time, just break the other way, you know. But I mean, he mean no harm. So
no.
That's my guy. I'm a Maryland native. We're from the same state, so
it really is to me. And I know a lot of people say, your record is what you are, what your record says you are, and you can't play like a couple plays here and there. But have you ever been a part of a season like that where you can really, there are a couple of kicks, a couple of turnovers here and there where the story is completely different?
Literally with the Browns, we could have won 10 games by one play.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I definitely, it's a game of inches. It's one play here, one play there, when you could literally change an entire season.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I don't want, just because I'm a fan and I still live in the recent past, you can't do that. It's time for 2019.
Yes.
Last question. Has Kevin Colbert asked you, what do you think we need, Joe? Or if he did, what would you say? We need X on our roster.
Our roster, we're very, very talented. I think one thing, and this is never, I'm never trying to knock anybody in the positions, but losing Ryan Shazier was a really, really big thing.
I agree with that.
He's sideline to sideline. He was one of the best linebackers in the league. He was going to be one of the highest paid linebackers in the league for sure.
Mm-hmm.
His ability goes without saying. He was literally a coach on the field. He knows the defenses better than anybody else. I would say him and William Gay were two of the smartest players I've ever played with, as far as just understanding the defense, knowing what everybody does and why they do it, and his passion. That boy Shazier was going out there head on fire, out there running sideline to sideline, smacking people, making plays, forcing turnovers. So that was one player, one piece that if we can get another Shazier, that'd be sweet.
I hear you, and I've come across few guys sweeter than Ryan Shazier, who anytime I tried to engage him in football conversation, preferred to talk about his little kid and what he had going on at home. A wonderful guy. And they say don't meet your heroes. I love the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I know that it's been a pleasure to talk to you, because it's nice to see that the Steelers have some nice guys in that locker room. And as a matter of fact, I know that they're lousy with them after meeting so many. Cam Hayward and everybody else. I have a good reason to root for you, not just because I've rooted for you my whole life. Go get them in 2019. Shock the world. The Browns, right? The Browns. cut it off. It's ridiculous.
Dave. Dave.
Boy, oh boy, Spaghetti. Rare has there been such a sweet guy seated next to me as Joe Hayden.
The work he does off the field is great. He was awesome to us in studio, and one of the best cornerbacks of at least my generation of recent time. It was really funny funny for you and him to watch that pass interference play, but to see him be locked in and then just kind of his emotion just drop and just like relive that. It was actually, for me to watch from a distance, was quite funny.
I don't like going into those places emotionally. I don't like taking Joe into those dark corners of recent history. felt I had to do it.
Yeah, it still definitely bothers him too. Like, he was really rocked to the core by that play, and he was like whispering. He was like, "Oh man," and I was like, "We actually triggered him with that play."
Well, I didn't like it either. Now let's move on from the banks of the Three Rivers. I think it's about a 5-hour drive to Manhattan, and Kibitz with what could be a breakout year in year three. He's already shown signs of being able to carry that load. He's going to get a lot of targets from Eli Manning this year. Here he comes, Evan Engram.
That's Dave Damashek.
I mean, yes, we talk game of football, but we also talk game of life. And one of the key aspects in 2019, right here and now, is Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. We're talking with the tight end from the New York Football Giants. It's Evan Engram. What's happening, fella?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm fine. So, well, let's just go right to it. I like to generally warm up a little bit, but let's get right to the hot take. Who gets the throne when it's all said and done?
I need to get up there.
What are you talking about?
I need to get on Game of Thrones. That's what we're talking about, right?
Well, Joey Bosa has made a cameo on it. Now Evan Engram thinks he deserves to be one of the finalists for the throne.
I'm not asking for a big role. I'm not asking for a lot of lines. Like, they just need. Okay. I just want to be in like a pan shot, like on the battlefield, my hair flowing, going crazy.
Yeah,
and I just want people to say, "Was that Evan Engram right there?"
That would be. I like that. I think that
that's all I need. I don't need a lot of lines. You know, just put me in the
do this
me in
for
a,
me.
Put
then.
Me in like
say
a war
like,
scene.
Say like say what you like. What they say all the time is they talk about strawberries. I don't know why, but they talk about don't play at war. They always say that line. Give me that line in your best Game of Thrones character voice.
Don't
play at war, boy.
Don't play at war.
Okay, you know what? Not bad. Not bad. Then they don't say strawberry. They say strawberry.
Strawberry.
Okay. There's something to work with. I mean,
now.
I'm not.
Come on now. And that's just off the road. I wasn't practicing that.
Yeah, right. No, even, this is, yeah.
Off that the, was all fresh.
That's good. Okay, listen.
That's pretty good. Come on, man.
Here's what we'll maybe make some time for Game of Thrones. We do have our Game of Thrones fantasy league coming up, and we're going to be drafting. If you'd like a piece of that, you're more than welcome to join us.
I'm actually thinking about doing a fantasy team this year. I've not done a fantasy team
a football?
In the past 2 years. Yeah.
Well, we did know. I'm telling you, we do a Game of Thrones. I'm not playing games with you.
Wait, like that with the characters?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What, like whoever's
like kills
alive, or whoever's like last man standing, or
yeah. if there happens to be some nudity, you know, sharing of beds, you get points for that, you know.
I just want Tyrion. So if he's on my team, what am I going to get out of that? Like,
well, I mean, he doesn't kill a lot of people, but he gives a lot of orders to kill people, and he's very clever.
So that's kind of like. It's like head of everybody. That's maybe
in a way.
And there's a couple of scenes in the last couple of seasons. He's got a little prospect.
Wait, killed the king. He killed his own father. That was worth a lot of points. I think he gets killed. I just want you to tell. I want to tell you that in advance. Is that
like a turnover points wise for on
you
the
lose
league?
Points if you get okay. killed. Yeah, that's not good. So you're gonna do a fantasy football league this year?
I might do it. My friends since high school they always do a league. And I've kind of not done it the past 2 years because I thought it'd be kind of weird. But
do you get mad at your friends if they don't draft you? If they take like, well, come on, Evan, you're great, but Travis Kelce was sitting there.
No, they actually kind of make fun of me because I think this past year I was traded like maybe 3 or 4 times throughout the league. Like they're just running me through the mud. So they kind of were kind of mean about it, but. I think I'm going to get in there this year and just take myself so I don't have to do it.
So you'll take yourself, but will you take Eli Manning?
I would take me first. Take me first round. And then
over Saquon even?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Saquon second round. He might be gone by the time
he's probably going to be gone, but it's okay. I would take me, then Eli, and then the field.
I mean, I don't know that there's really a greater show of confidence than drafting oneself in the first round.
Well, like I said, they were trading me around last year. Like they were just running me through the mud, and I didn't like that. So I'm going to draft myself. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the goal is to put up as many points as possible. I'm going to have healthy season and hopefully and praying for a lot of success, which I'm working for. So I'm going to take that shot. Be the GM of the year. One of the greatest calls.
At minimum, I would like to check back in with you after the fantasy season and see how it all shook out. That's what I'd like to know. In the meantime, as you sort of allude to there, there have been some changes with the Giants. When you left the field in late December versus right now, some guys have left, some guys have been added, and a lot of indications are that Evan Engram is going to be expected to carry more of the load. 2 years ago, when you got drafted, Brandon Marshall was there, Odell Beckham was there. People were talking about this is the best receiving core in all of football. 2 years later, things have been shaken up significantly.
Yeah, definitely some changes. All those things are out of my control. It's definitely going to be a new look team, a new locker room. It's just a huge opportunity for a lot of people in that building. Just the mentality of the guys I know that are in there, the mentality of our coaching staff and where we're trying to go as a team, I can't be more excited about it. Definitely a lot of changes, a lot of new faces, and going to even be even more faces after this thing that's going to be happening in a couple weeks.
I heard about that.
I'm excited for it. Kind of get a clean slate, fresh year. Everybody's healthy. We get to go to work. Couple days, actually, we get back, start OTAs and stuff.
Have you talked with the coaching staff? Is there any indication that you might be not in line as much anymore and sort of split out?
Is this a question for your fantasy league?
Well, in part, yes.
Okay. But actually, no. We haven't really gotten into all that. That's all going to be addressed and stuff when we report. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I'm asked and try to attack it as hard as I can. So, obviously, there's more opportunities in there. And honestly, I like being in line. You kind of get matched up on more linebackers that way, and I'm really excited when I get that match.
It makes sense, and it seems like Gettleman has indicated that he wants to go heavy and he wants to try and ride Saquon a little bit in year two there. And with Tate and with Sterling Shepard, who's no slouch himself, it does seem like an interesting – even when you're not sitting here, I keep referring to Evan Engram as the X factor for the Giants this year, at minimum for the offense. Where's your confidence level in the guy who's going to be delivering you those passes in 2019, number 10, Eli Manning?
It's through the roof. It's through the roof. If you look at the numbers, you look at the tape, you look at the last kind of half of our season when the offense turned the corner. When Eli's protected in the pocket, he's making every single throw. He's driving the ball down the field. When we were scoring points, we were having success on the offensive side of the ball, which we haven't had success in really 2 years, 3 years before I even got there. It was kind of shaky. So, all my confidence is through the roof with Eli. I think we have another opportunity to start fresh, and you know, we have an offensive line that's improving, that got a lot better last year and still has a lot of room to get better. And we got playmakers on the outside, and we got this kid number 26. I can't remember his name.
Le'Veon Bell. Oh no, he's the other New York running back now.
Yeah.
No, Saquon again. Saquon, we were talking about. Right.
Yeah, he's in our backfield, so we have a lot of special talent, and it's definitely great to have that veteran mind and that veteran leadership at the quarterback. And I through the roof. My confidence is through the roof.
We pointed those pieces, and obviously an X factor in how you deploy him is Saquon as well. He's versatile, not unlike you. I think you could really, flank out Saquon and let him run routes like another wide receiver. Where do you come down on the idea? You see the Pittsburgh Steelers say goodbye to Antonio Brown, not necessarily by their choice, but I've long said that when you look at these teams, the last 10 or 15 years worth of Super Bowl participants, that while it's a nice luxury piece to have Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham and so on, you don't see the guys that have the true, legit superstar wide receiver making a lot of those deep playoff runs. Is there something to that if you command that sort of attention, if you demand the ball on some level, that it somehow diminishes the offense overall?
Side note, walking through the office in here, I heard there was a kind of rough day for you when AB got traded.
Listen, we're not
I think somebody said that they saw
him crying.
We're
not here to talk about it's been a tough winter and spring. I had some high hopes for the 2018 Pittsburgh Steelers. Those things didn't happen, but we're regrouping, and no one outside our locker room believes in us right now. And we've got
that's what you want to be, though, right?
I don't know. According to everybody, whoever wins a championship, no one ever believes in them. It's a weird lack of self-esteem that's plaguing pro sports.
I said that not to make fun of you. I just said that I'm here for you, and we got support people out there for you to.
That's nice. Thank you.
And I think you guys are still going to have a lot of success, so you'll get over it.
I mean, I do think there are a lot of similarities from ownership on down between the Mayors and the Rooneys and the way they approach things and the way they team build and the stability and all that sort of stuff.
But no, to your question, it was a great question, actually. I can see both ways. I can see both ways because when you have those talents and you have the Julio Jones, the Odell Beckhams, the Antonio Browns, a lot of those names, those teams are close. And those teams are the Falcons were close. Julio had a legendary performance in that Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and they were obviously that happened. And then you got AB pitcher in the playoffs every year, so they're close, but. Definitely, a balanced game plan is really needed to win championships. You look at the Patriots. They run the ball, and they got 12 back there making throws when needed. It's a balanced attack. They play defense. They're champions. So it's definitely – you kind of have that aspect as, okay, well, we have Julio. We have AB. We have Odell. We have DeAndre Hopkins. Like, obviously, we got to get them the ball, but it comes down to – honestly, it comes down to how successful is your balanced attack. Because you have to win the ball. You have to run the ball to be successful in this league. And the teams that are really successful, they have strong running games. So
it is. Whether people like it or not, the Patriots do seem often to be about a half step ahead of other contenders. And that was not Tom Brady winning those games in December and January as much as it was the youngster Sonny Michel, they were riding him. So that is sort of a blueprint.
I feel like it doesn't get boosted up like that because it's not the glamour. Obviously, mm-hmm. you want to see guys getting dunked on in the end zone, and you want to see all the crazy people getting jumped over. Obviously, that's part of the game, and you do see those plays. But not a lot of people like to see the way it gets it done, and they don't really respect it until that team is standing on the stage holding up that trophy.
Well, speaking of being on the stage and on the football field and so on, there are now two number 26s in the same stadium. Yeah. Is Saquon, do you know if he has any plans to cut a hip-hop album?
No, I don't see that happening. Honestly, Saquon can't rap, though.
No? Oh, he can?
He can.
Really?
Freestyle off the dome.
Really?
Elite. Best one in our group. I'm not that good. I try to get in there. We freestyle. I have some good bars here and there, but... Saquon's
good.
Really good.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I'm the perfect judge for that. We would have to turn that over to Keenan Allen. What did you think about that? It's a new day, isn't it?
It was kind of out of pocket, but he did ask, was it fire or trash?
So right.
It was kind of out of pocket, but I mean, he did ask.
Too bad. My only regret is that the Jets and Chargers aren't playing in 2019, because now that would have an added element.
It was funny. But I mean, like I said, he asked. So people are going to have their opinions. So.
Hey, real quick, we have a Giants fan behind the glass there. His name's Eddie Spaghetti, and he loves you and everything Big Blue. Spaghetti, I want to give you a chance to ask a question here.
I just want to say, well, first of all, Evan, great meeting you.
No, don't. I mean, it's not to make him feel good. He's a pro football. He feels good already.
There's been a lot of, obviously, the Giants being in the news a lot this offseason for various reasons. A lot of almost negative news. But in my mind, I think with these two first-round picks we have, we have, you know, another year under Pat Shurmur's offense. I'm like, wait, I think this actually could be really good, even in a tough division. So tell me why I'm not crazy thinking the Giants could be a very good team this year.
Yeah, listen, we're exactly what we want to be. That's all I'm going to say. Like, people want to sleep on us. People want to question us. We embrace all that. And I think, like you said, another year in the offense, another year in the culture that we're building. And we have a lot of picks that are going to come in. And our draft class last year was probably the most professional, most game ready, most mature group of guys that came in that room. The youngest guys in that room were already natural leaders. So our front office knows what they're doing when they're scouting these kids and they're bringing them in. I say kids like I'm old, we're exactly where we want to be. And you know our fans, and obviously you know our passion, and it's time for us to win games in that city. And I tell you this, those games we'd won this year, we had a 2-week game win streak. It's not that much, but it was the most fun that I've had in a long time. So I'm looking forward to getting some more of those.
Oh, spaghetti. All right. Fine, that's fine. You boosted one Giants fan. All right. I mean, you're going to get out of here, Evan Engram. Last question. Biggest rival in the NFC East?
I go Philly.
Really?
Their fans are psycho.
Poor Carson Wentz, right? Nobody's got more pressure on him than Carson Wentz this season.
I've never been on a sideline where you get on the sideline and you see the people that have the sideline passes. You know, they're usually taking pictures and they're eating and drinking, having fun. They're ready to fight. Warming up next to them, they're ready to fight.
That's weird. This guy's going to be on Game of Thrones. You don't want to fight with him. He's going to fight the mountain.
Watch for the hair flow in the back.
That's when you know it's Engram. All right. Very nicely done, Evan Engram. What a pleasure to see you. Good luck with your fantasy team and your real football team in 2019. Stay healthy, and we'll be rooting for you.
Appreciate it, man.
Especially Spaghetti. He's really going to be rooting for you.
My guy.
You're listening to David Damashek.
What'd you think, Spaghetti?
He was awesome. He's my vote.
You liked
him? Football player and guest of the year, without a doubt. He's awesome.
Favorite football playing guest.
Yeah, I know we're in April. Long way to go. But
so biased.
He was good. He was good.
He was delightful, but he's your favorite guest of the year?
He has a great personality. He's into Game of Thrones. He is a huge, huge, huge part of what the Giants' success will be this upcoming season.
Wait till I tell Maurice Jones-Drew about this.
Well, Maurice, again, you like him better than Maurice?
I'm
talking about guests. The guy comes in once in a while. Maurice is basically a regular.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think who else would be a contender.
I mean, Joe Hayden was an ultra nice guy. He was great. I have to review.
I mean, what a delightful guy Joe Hayden is, huh?
Yeah, for real.
Both delightful fellas.
We had two A-plus guests. This episode is jam-packed.
Excellent episode indeed. Great work by you, Spaghetti, with that incisive question that you dropped into Ingram's laugh. Freudian. See, he
did not laugh.
He didn't laugh.
He gave me a
great
answer.
Yes, he did. Nicely done, Spaghetti. All right, we'll be back. I understand that we'll be paid a visit by one Matt Money Smith, who
finally,
we haven't seen in a few weeks now. So we'll look forward to catching up with him later in the week. In the meantime, make sure you check out Daves of Thunder, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Lots of good stuff for you. NFL.com/DDFP, including, but not limited to, we show you some of those plays with Joe Hayden and get his reaction to the Steelers 2018 season. It may be painful for Steelers fans, but you need to expose yourself to it. Take it in. Feel it. It's been a thin slice of heaven.